was at home, and he's fearful about walking down the hall to go to the bathroom alone. And so his mother always accompanies him to go down in this dark area of the bathroom. So he starts down by himself this day. She said, "Oh, I'll come with you." He said, "No need, Mom. Jesus is with me."
Oh.
So I said, what a joy and a confirmation that was for me to see that this young person had gotten it and they had received that. And so today I'm along the same lines of that thought, and I have a question to ask you. Has anybody out there ever been fearful? Does anybody have any fear in their life? I'm not going to ask you to stand up and tell me, but you have fears in your life. And there's so many things that we could be fearful about. Fear of the unknown. And for the children, I asked them three things. Are you afraid to go to bed at night? Are you afraid of the dark? Are you afraid to go to the bathroom by yourself? And who knows, there may be a monster waiting under the bed for each of us. But those monsters are invariably imaginary. So today, I want us to think about the things that bring us fear in our lives that need to be overcome by the truth of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, think about that scripture throughout this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And we don't want to be tormented by this fear. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We would be made perfect in the love of Jesus Christ. And also another scripture that is much like that: for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so it's not right and it's not good for a person to remain in a fearful state, especially when they are Christians. And again, I ask you that question. What might you be afraid of today? What are you afraid of? Some fears that this little boy had were imaginary. And many fears that young people have are imaginary. Afraid to go to the bathroom, afraid of the dark, afraid to go to sleep at night. These things are imaginary. I told a story years ago when I was first really made a dedication to Jesus Christ, though. I felt that something not of God had an entity. Now, you may think I'm stretching this, but I'm not. Had somehow come into my room, and it gave me a great fear. This is when I was in my 20s, no less. I no longer was afraid of the dark. But I felt something. He said, well, maybe it was a bad dream. All right, whatever you feel it was. But nevertheless, when this thing came in, I sort of was there like, you know, how you have a tendency to be frozen in the middle of your, when you wake up half afraid at night. And God just laid in my heart to just command this thing to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. And I did that. I commanded it to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, it dispelled immediately. The next night, the same thing happened. And this time, I was prepared. I was almost welcoming something like this to happen so that I could give it the name of Jesus. And I said, Jesus' name. And Jesus, and boom. And that thing left. And I've never had anything like that again. Anytime I ever wake up, I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm not afraid to confront an imaginary fear. I'm not afraid to confront a demonic fear, because Christ is with me. Amen? We should have boldness to be able to stand against all the wiles of Satan, whether they be imaginary or whether they be real. Some have fear of the unknown. Some have fear of the future. Some have fear of life. Some have fear of death. I would love to see today, when you leave this service, for you to be free from any fears that are in your life, or at least you're on a pathway of deliverance from fear. And I think that is a great first step, to at least be on the pathway of deliverance from fear. Now, many times a preacher gives the tools whereby a person is able to receive deliverance. Our tool, and I don't mean to reduce Jesus' name to that, is the name of Jesus Christ. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ is the tool whereby we seek deliverance, and we are delivered from all things that would oppress us. Jesus Christ is there. Some are, afraid of being caught. Maybe there is sin in your life. Maybe Maybe there's something that you're afraid of being caught in or caught at. So that can be a real fear. You may be afraid of caught being doing something wrong or something wrong you've already done, and you're afraid of being exposed in that. So the answer, first of all, for this is for you that are caught in some kind of sin or caught afraid to be exposed to sin, is you need to repent. You need to turn away from that. You need to confess that before God, and you need to seek the forgiveness that God brings to you. And if you have offended a person or done something despicable to someone, you need to approach them and ask forgiveness, or to come to a place where you can be reconciled to that person. One of the fears that, or maybe a subcategory of fear, might be anxiety. And we've said this scripture many times, but it's so good. Thou shalt keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee. Many people have anxiety or even panic attacks. I knew a fellow, a friend of mine, that used to have panic attacks. And he came to Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. And even after he came to the Lord, at times, things would well up within him, and he would get panicky for no reason. He was a big fellow, well able to take care of himself. But yet, some kind of an anxiety would come upon him, and he would break out in a cold sweat for he didn't even seem for any specific reason. And the only way he would ever receive deliverance from that was to be able to rest and rely on Jesus Christ. But it took a while for him to be able to come into that kind of a place where he was able to be deliverance. Deliverance sometimes from fears can be instantaneous. Some people are fearful, and the day, like this little boy, heard that Jesus was with him, then that anxiety was taken care of. And some people out here, when they hear that Jesus is with them, that fear may be dispelled immediately. But others out there, even though you are born again and receive Christ, it may take a bit of time for you to be able to understand and receive the truth that Christ is with you in the most devastating or the most frightening situation. And even if you were to have a panic attack, knowing at least that Jesus is with you and he will walk you through this, it may be some kind of chemical imbalance, it may be something, but whatever it is, can you say with me, Christ is able? Christ is able. And he will do that for you. And I think fear is the thing that debilitates people from ever flourishing in the things that God has for them. They have a fear in their life. I'm not talking so much about a phobia. I've known people that have phobias, afraid to fly, afraid of closed places. And that's a different thing. But I'm talking about something that so debilitates a person that they really can't function to be able to do the ministry that God has called them because of some kind of fear in their life. Again, back to 1 John chapter 4, which I read in the beginning. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. And here's the scripture I read to you. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. What Paul is presenting here is the fear of, I wouldn't say the fear of death, but the fear of after death. People are fearful because they are not certain what lies for them after they die. Will there be a Christ that is waiting for them after they die? Will they be ushered into eternal bliss with Christ? Or will they be lost in some kind of limbo? Or will they be confined to hell? The Bible says, and he says the next chapter, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things are written unto you that believe, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. We can know that we have eternal life. And so therefore, in verse 17, what he's saying about having boldness, he He said, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." I can have boldness in the day of judgment. Anybody out there have boldness in the day of judgment? And the reason you can have boldness in the day of judgment is to know when you stand before the judge, he is not judging you for your sins, because your sins have already been judged at Calvary. You are forgiven all things and you have a place in heaven. Boy, if that doesn't make you happy, it addresses the most devastating fear of all. And if you can have that fear addressed and taken care of, then you can be confident that God is going to be with you in all things. You can have boldness in the day of judgment, that you will not be condemned with the world, because Christ has forgiven your sins and you have a place in Him. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are seated together with Christ in heavenly places already, because you have received Christ as your Savior. Once that fear has been alleviated, what a joy there is to life, to know that you have been redeemed from the curse of the pit. Many people stand in fear, and this is what Paul was addressing here, and a couple other verses I'll read about that. That people were afraid to walk through the day because they haven't taken care of that greatest fear, which is, what is going to happen to me once I leave this body? Will I be called into judgment? And so Paul was encouraging them. In Hebrews 2:14 it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same," speaking about Jesus, "that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." They were in a bondage because they feared what lay ahead for them after they died. We're all going to come to that place, and we're all going to have to stand before our Maker. For those that have received Christ, you are exonerated from all things that have been in the past, and even now, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are forgiven of your sins. And I know that when I stand there before God, I have the boldness when He says, "For what reason should I let you into heaven? Because the blood of Jesus has covered all my sins. That's why I have place in heaven." And I thank God for that. It gives me peace in my heart to know that I can face this world, because after I leave this place, I am in eternity. I'm in eternity now. I'm already with Christ, and I thank God for that joy that He has given me. So be confident this day. You know, Jesus told us to fear. He said, "I'll tell you who you're to fear. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." Who is that? That is God Almighty. Fear God with a holy reverence, because He is powerful. He is able. But because you had that fear, or because you had that knowledge, and you have received Christ, now there is not even fear of God. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there is no more fear. It said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father knowing it? But the very hairs of your head are numbered." This is the one who you're supposed to fear. Fear the one who cares for the sparrows. Fear the one who knows the very number of the hairs on your head. Fear the benevolent, loving God that cares so much for you that He sent Jesus Christ to die in your place so that you might have eternal life. That's the one to fear. The benevolent, loving God that has already made a way for you to have eternal life as you receive Christ as your Savior. That's the one to fear. That's the one to be rejoicing in. Isn't that a great truth to understand? Isn't it wonderful to know that you can stand boldly in the day of judgment without fear, without condemnation? In fact, there's no condemnation for you now. You just need to get that into your heart and into your mind so that you can live a productive, flourishing life, not burdened by fears and anxiety and stress because you're wondering what the next day holds. You know, there is a difference between fear and caution. Now, I'm very cautious, especially since I've been watching Shark Week. I'm not afraid of water, I'm not afraid of the ocean, but I'm very cautious that there have been more people that have been killed or injured in automobile accidents from dodging animals on the road than there have been killed or injured by a shark. But if I gave you the option today, would you rather go head-to-head with a squirrel or with a 20-foot great white shark? I'm opting for the squirrel. You know, I'd like to take the squirrel on or the deer that's running out of it than this 20-foot great white shark. So I am cautious about going in the shark infested waters, especially when I saw in Australia and they showed pictures of like 100 sharks swimming around right out where the people are swimming on the beach. I don't mean to put fear in your heart, but I want you to be cautious. You know, I also thought about this, that we should never put God to the foolish test. When Jesus was on the mount and Satan was trying to tempt him, one of the temptations he said to Christ was to throw yourself off this cliff, because the Bible says that the Lord would give his angels charge over you lest you dash your foot against the stone. So answer me this, was Christ afraid to throw himself off the cliff? No, he wasn't afraid, but he certainly would not want to put God to the foolish test. And I believe that we never should put God to the foolish test in things, and so we should exercise a little bit of caution whenever we are living our life. Don't ever put God to the test and say, all right, since God has everything in his hands and he knows where I'm going to be, I'm just going to walk out the street in front of cars. Now, that's foolishness, and that's tempting God. I met a person like that one day. I remember we were walking in Manhattan, and this kid was proclaiming that he was, really had an insight for God, and he would rush right out of the street and not even look around. I said, watch it. He said, no, God's with me. I said, you have a strange religion. But so, I only saw him like a couple days. He had gone to the gym where I was going, but meanwhile, I thought he was crazy. So there's that. I don't know if he was hit by a car or not, but maybe he had more faith than I did. I don't know. But I don't believe we should tempt God. Do you believe we should tempt God? No. Well, we shouldn't tempt God. All right. I operate on two planes. I'm thinking of frightening places to be in. There is an aspect of my life, and I think you all have this. I operate on an emotional plane and my reaction plane. If you're going to swing at me, I'm gonna jerk back, and that's my reaction. I forgot to think about turning the other cheek, but my reaction to blink my eyes and jerk back. And so therefore, maybe there would be something that would startle me, or maybe even start to cause fear in my mind. But I also operate on another plane. I believe in the Word of God. And I believe in Jesus Christ. And once I get my rational mind wrapped around the situation, and I know that Christ has it in his hand, it settles down both my emotions and all the things that would ever try to bring me any kind of mental stress. And so although you may operate emotionally and as a person that reacts, don't be upset about that, because we are humans. It is when you begin to get a hold of what is going on in the situation and say that Christ is with me of a truth, and then you begin to recount what is going on. I am telling you, that knowledge and that kind of a disposition will dispel the darkness that Satan is trying to bring upon you. And also take away the guilt that you had because you have reacted in a negative manner when a situation has happened to you. That not only creates the prize of being fearful, but that anything that happens, if you react emotionally rather than thinking it out rationally. And that happens to all of us. But our emotions and our responses, the initial response sometimes is being startled. But we need to meditate on the things of the Lord. Thinking about that. At the last men's meeting, we discussed the fact that Jesus was with us in the truth, and the way that that really came to me is I told the men, and this is something the Bible says, Jesus said, it is expedient for you that I go. This is when he was on earth. He said, because if I do not go, the Comforter will not come. But if I go, I will send him that he may be with you always. Now, get this in your mind, and I just think this bears repeating if some of the men hear this again. The fact is that you are indwelt by somebody other than yourself, or in addition to yourself. The Bible said you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Who believes that? The Bible said, I will come into you and make my abode in you. He is tabernacling in us. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has gone to heaven and has sent his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Of course, God is all one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But that aspect of God, the Holy, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, resides in you. I found that to be an exciting truth when I began to meditate upon that, that the Holy Spirit resides in me. I am indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Okay, try and get that in your head. I know you're not slow, but I want you to really think about that. That you had the Holy Spirit before you came to Christ, you didn't have the Holy Spirit in you. But now that you've come to Jesus Christ, you have the person of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And if the Holy Spirit lives in me, should I not be bold as a lion? We can have confidence, not only in the day of judgment, but even throughout our life, that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Thanking God for that. So, what do we as Christians do with those fears that will try to beset us and come against us? When you have that fear, I said, first of all, rationally think about the things of God. But I found three ways that really have helped me in dealing with any kind of fear, whether it's fear of something that's going to happen in the future, or fear of some situation I'm going through, or any kind of fear that just might rise up that I can't even really name. The first thing that has really helped me is to be able to come to Jesus Christ and begin to have a conversation with him. Has anybody ever gone to Jesus and had a conversation with him? Do you know what that's called? Prayer. You go to the Lord and you lay down your case before the Lord. And you say, Lord God, this is what I'm going through. Doesn't the Bible say, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you? Lay it before the Lord. He is the supernatural entity that is living in you by the person of the Holy Spirit. So lay it before the Lord. Come to the Lord in prayer and begin to tell him all the things that are on your heart. I have found that when I pray, it alleviates so many challenges and stresses in my life. Whereas if I didn't pray, if I didn't realize that it was Christ that was taking care of me, that was moving in my life, I wouldn't know where to go. Who could I turn to if not to God? Who else is there? Who else is there? I'm telling you, psychologists, psychiatrists do not have the answer if they are not presenting Jesus Christ. Amen. Just sit pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps and getting a new mindset or facing your dilemmas or facing your fears. We can only do what we do through the power of Jesus Christ. And God made it that way. He made it that way. So that you would only seek him and him alone. So I would encourage you this day, if you're going through difficulties, if you have fears, whether they are imagined or real, or coming from anxiety or stress or chemical imbalance, or whatever it may be, whatever you have, take it to the Lord in prayer. Secondly, I have found this to be the elixir of deliverance for me in so many times. The next thing is this: praising God. When I begin to praise God and realize who he who God is. And just to reiterate this to you, is God all-powerful? Is he able to do all things? So then, he is omnipowerful. He's omnipotent. Does God know all things? See, my God knows all things that are even in my mind, that are happening in the world. And so because he's all-powerful, and he's omniscient, and he knows all things, or maybe he's not over there one day when I'm over there, or he's busy doing something else. No. The Bible said he is omnipresent. He is in all places and all times equally, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what you have in you, and or who you have in you, and who I have in me, is the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, unchangeable, irrefutable, immutable God of the universe, the creator of the universe. Please, let's get that in our hearts and in our heads. And if you have him in your heart, what weapon formed against you could ever stand? Nothing can stand against the man that knows that and understands that. I want you to really get this in your heart today, because I believe this is so important for you to flourish as a Christian, for the things that God has for you, that all fear should be dispelled. And okay, maybe you're not grasping it right this second, but chew this up. Take it home with you and say, he said, I have the power of the living God in me. Is that true? Open up your Bibles. And doesn't Christ say, I will never leave nor forsake you? Didn't he say, I will be with you always, even to the ends of the world? He said that. That's the God you have in you. Oh, to know that you have that God, it dispels all fears and anxieties and situations that would try to destroy your testimony. So prayer is the first thing I have, of bringing it to the Lord. And then beginning to praise him for who he is and what he's done. And I forgot to even mention how much he's done. What all has he done? He created the very creator of the universe. Is the one that came and died for me. That's the one that died for me. Not some guy that God created. It was God himself that came down and showed his love for me. In that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. That's how much he cares for you. That's how much he cares for me. I'm not going to let anybody take that away from me. I'm going to stand and shout that for the rest of my life. So I praise him. I praise him and worship my Savior. Oh, what a joy to be able to open up my mouth and know that I am giving the best praise I can to him. All adulation and praise I want to give to my Lord and my Savior. Yes, he's worthy. Yes, he's worthy of all our praise. I pray to him. I praise him. And the third thing I do, I begin to recount the promises that he has made to me in the Word of God. And I've already said some of them. He'll never leave nor forsake me. If I ask anything in his name, according to his will, he will do it. I can trust in him with all my heart. He'll be with me to the ends of the world. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I need fear no evil, for thou art with me. Hallelujah! What more do we want? We've got it all in Jesus Christ. If you ever had fear, if you ever had stress, if you ever had anxiety, bring it to the Lord. Begin to praise him. Begin to recount the promises he's made you time and again. I believe that one of the reasons, or the positive exact reason, why John said that we can have boldness in the day of judgment, and that that would dispel fear, and every other verse about fear in the Bible, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind, and those that who through death are all their life held in bondage because of their fear of death. Any fear is encompassed in this most important one. And I said it to you in the beginning, but I want to reiterate and close with this. The most important fear to overcome is what's going to happen to you after you leave this world. Once you have that in your heart, that a child of God, and you can just throw your heart up to God and say, if you take me this moment, I know I'm going to be in the arms of the Beloved when I leave this place. And you are so confident in that because of the truth of Jesus Christ. And you stand there, and you can't help but get a smile on your face. You can't help but rejoice when you have that kind of confidence. And so here's what it is. If you crush the head of the snake, you crush the whole snake. The tail goes with it. And once you crush the head of fear, which what is going to happen to me when I leave this world, every other fear in your life, and that long line of a snake of fears, is taken care of and put under your feet because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now that is what God has for you this day. And if you can walk out of this place and say, I have a new confidence that when I leave this world, I will go to be with the Lord. And because that be a fact, there's no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And all fear is dispelled because of what Christ has done for me in crushing the head of the serpent and taking all fears away from me. Again, I say this may have to be a process with some of you, because you have to keep on reminding yourself of the truth of what God has done. But you have the tools. You have the tool of Jesus Christ, the shed blood of the Savior, to deliver you and to give you that freedom. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. That's what God has for you. And so I bless you this day with the joy of salvation and the knowledge that you have been delivered from the curse of the pit, and that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you are protected from all things. As we come to this communion table today, I want us to rejoice in what Christ has done for us in dispelling all the fears that Satan and the world will try to bring upon us. May the peace of Christ bless us this day. May the men come forward as we